It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf is letting everyone know how he'll divvy up state funding for education after deciding to let the budget take effect without his signature and vetoing a separate bill that included an education aid distribution formula. Now, legislative Republicans are complaining that the governor's approach ignores a formula that was the product of lengthy negotiations. Joining me now by phone from Harrisburg to discuss this and other issues is Governor Wolf. Governor Wolf, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Paul. It's good to be with you.
How are you splitting up state funding for education, and how did you arrive at the formula you're using?
As you know, Pennsylvania is one of three states without a funding formula. So the formula that I've used for since 250 of the 200 additional million dollars went out in December, there's 50 million left. And of that 50 million, I'm doing 25, which is being allocated for the restoration of the charter school reimbursement program. That's restoration. And $20 million is being allocated to continue to try to restore the cuts made by Governor Corbett and Republicans back in 2011 and 12. The remaining $5 million is being allocated through that new basic education fair funding formula that has, the commission did report, but it has never been adopted by the legislature.
There are other ways you could have done this. Clearly, these reflect your priorities when you sat down and did the math. How did you arrive at this particular formula? What was important to you to address here?
Well, this is what I think is important to Pennsylvanians. This is what I ran on and have been talking about it for now 2.5-3 years. The cuts to the schools were debilitating. I mean, Pennsylvania's, however you measure it, Pennsylvania's academic overall academic performance declined with those massive cuts, and I ran on it, and I think people supported me because I wanted to restore schools to levels as close as we could get to the levels they had been before those cuts took place, and then to allocate on the basis of a fair funding formula. If you don't do that restoration, by the way, any formula you use will disadvantage the ones that the schools that never made it back to the starting line, so to speak. So there are a couple challenges here. I wanted to first of all, restore those cuts. And there were two things that happened in the past administration that I was trying to overturn. One was money that local school districts were using to reimburse charter schools in their district. A lot of that was coming from the state, and they suspended those payments. I want to restore that, and as I said, $25 million of this $50 million is for just putting back into place funding that was there before for charter school reimbursement. That's money that actually goes to the charter schools, but it goes through the school district coming from the state. $20 million is to really restore cuts made back in 2011, 2012. So, again, what I ran on and what I think I was elected to do was make sure that those cuts, to the extent possible, were restored. So that $20 million was aimed at those schools that were cut and in proportion to the cuts. And then $5 million, the last $5 million I'm allocating through the new basic education fair funding formula, which, again, has not been adopted by the legislature, but the commission reported and I supported what they do, and so I'm pushing some of that out there. So there are three tranches here, basically. $25 million to restore the charter school reimbursement program, $20 million to continue to restore cuts made by Governor Corbett and the Republican legislature in 2011 and 12, and then $5 million allocated through the new basic education fair funding formula.
Now, House Republican leader Dave Reed is crying foul here. He says you are disregarding the negotiated formula that he says was fair and equitable. What is your response to this?
I'm not sure what, I mean, we had negotiations back, maybe he's talking about the negotiations back in the fall, his caucus turned a thumbs down to that. So I'm not sure why that would have, you know, why we'd move on that. I'm not sure what he's talking. I haven't heard his comments, and I don't want to be unfair in criticizing them, but we didn't have any deal. This budget came to my desk. I had nothing to do with it. They threw it on my desk and walked away, and I let it become law. I didn't do anything to it. So I'm not sure what negotiations he's talking about.
This disagreement seems to foreshadow what's to come in less than 3 months, when on July 1st, as you know, another budget is due. S&P and Moody's are concerned that Pennsylvania's on track for a fiscal catastrophe. Do you have any encouraging words for us at this point, Governor?
Yeah, I think it's not just Moody's and Standard & Poor's. I've been saying this. This is what I hoped we could do back in the 15-16 budget, to do what we needed to do to bring Pennsylvania's fiscal house into some measure of order. And I think that would have satisfied the outside ratings agencies. And, you know, those downgrades have really cost us. We're now paying about an 83 basis point premium on our debt and when we can get it. They're right. The financial, our finances are in a mess here in Pennsylvania. And I think the good news that you're looking for is that folks on both sides of the aisle finally have awakened to that. They are saying, yeah, you know, this is not just a partisan thing. This is not just a Democratic or a Republican thing. It's basic business. You have to make ends meet. And we have, not we, I mean, my predecessors through the years have gone through just about every cookie jar and shenanigan that you could to try to make ends meet, and we're now at the end of the road. So we have a huge $2 billion hole that is looking us in the face right into July 1st, starting July 1st of 2016, 3 months from now, less than 3 months from now, and we need to do something about that. And I think, to get back to your, you know, you're looking for some sort of hopeful sign, I'm seeing a broader recognition of that on both sides of the aisle that we can have all the partisan differences we want here, but it's really hard to disagree with Standard & Poor's and Moody's and Fitch, even the Independent Fiscal Office, and actually people on both sides of the aisle who really are expert in the budget say, yeah, Wolf's right, we actually do have a problem here. And I think that's a good thing, because it that recognition, people are out of denial. We're going to have to do something about it, and I think we will.
On to some other issues. A public debate is flaring in Pennsylvania over long-stalled legislation designed to outlaw discrimination based on someone's sexual orientation or gender identity. This bill has been idle for a long time, and the frustration is occurring after lawmakers in North Carolina, Georgia, and Mississippi passed legislation that critics say would permit discrimination against LGBT people. Why are we seeing this delay, and what are you urging Pennsylvania lawmakers to do?
Well, I'm gonna sign an executive order. I'm limited to what I can do, but I have been putting that off in the hopes that we could get legislation. But I think I need to move forward on the executive order, because we cannot. I mean, what happened in North Carolina, I think, what PayPal was going to move 500 new jobs to North Carolina, and with the discriminatory legislation that they saw in North Carolina, they publicly said they're not going to move those 500 jobs there. This is not something that we want in Pennsylvania. We want to be known as a welcoming state. We want to be known as a place it's open for everybody who wants to work hard, build a career, raise a family, build a business. These are the things we want in Pennsylvania, and you can't have that if you're a state that is seen as being unfair. So that non-discrimination legislation is absolutely essential. I am governor, but I don't control the legislature. They're going to have to do that. What I can control, I will be doing to make sure that, at least within the executive branch and the companies that the state does business with, that this kind of discrimination against the LGBT community does not take place.
A Republican-crafted bill that would place new limits on abortions in Pennsylvania has been voted out of a legislative committee days after the amendments to the Abortion Control Act were introduced. The proposal would prohibit elective abortions after 20 weeks compared to 24 in current law. You have said you would veto this if it reaches your desk. Explain your opposition to this.
It's just one more intrusion on the rights of women to determine make their own health choices. I mean, this is, again, something that other states have done. I clearly am not, I don't know whether it will even reach my desk, but if it does, I will definitely veto it.
And one final issue regarding minimum wage. It's been a hot topic in legislatures, as I'm sure you know, around the country. And as part of your Jobs That Pay initiative, you signed an executive order that ensures employees under your jurisdiction be paid no less than $10.15 an hour. Curious how you arrived at this figure, Governor. Why not $15 an hour like we're seeing in New York and California?
Yeah, there's a $10.10 was the amount in the executive order in Washington, and then adjusted for inflation to the nearest nickel. That takes us right now, if you can't do that calculation, to $10.15. That's why I arrived at $10.15. There's also a number of bills, at least one or two in the state house that are around $10.10, $10.15. So that's how I arrived at that number. But the point is we really need the $7.25, which is where Pennsylvania is. 29 states are above us. Every state surrounding Pennsylvania is above us. In a free market, and I was a business person, a business owner, you know, most of my adult life, I was successful and very profitable in part, maybe in large part, because I treated my employees fairly. When you have a minimum wage that is as low as it is right now in Pennsylvania, you have about 150,000 workers who make that. They have to depend on public services for things like health insurance, maybe even food stamps. Essentially, their businesses are enjoying a subsidy from the taxpayers of Pennsylvania to make them profitable while they pay their workers wages that are so low that they can't afford some of the basic services. So this is a good thing for business. I know that as a former business owner. It's a good thing, obviously, for the employees, and it's a good thing for our economy in that it'll put billions of dollars into the pockets of these workers who are also consumers.
Governor Tom Wolf joining us by phone from Harrisburg, covering a lot of ground here. As always, Governor, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Paul. It's good to be with you.
Coming up, former Pittsburgh Mayor Tom Murphy joins us to talk about how a cross-section of educators, innovators, and residents are reimagining the city's future. And coyotes in Pittsburgh? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.